Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Feel the heartbeat of love on Love and Inspiration.
And it is now 28 minutes past the hour of 3 p.m. Thank you so much for tuning in, as I am now fully connected with my guest in Rotterdam, the Netherlands. And I'm talking about Arjan Urkel. And he is an author of a very interesting book, a true story. And it's called Held Hostage: One Man's Story of Trials and Triumph After Being Taken in Dagestan. And I'm so happy to have him on here. We've spoken to each other some time back, and finally, we've made that opportunity possible here for him to be on Love and Inspiration. So wherever you are listening to the show today, I do hope that you will get a lot out of this conversation. And I do want to remind you, of course, that you know what is going to be shared today on the show is very powerful. So you've got to be ready for what you'll hear. So please be advised that today's show contains graphic content which could be offensive to the listener. So please be advised and act accordingly. Good evening to you, Arjan. How are you doing over there in Rotterdam? Welcome to Love and Inspiration.
Yes, Roy. Here I am from Rotterdam. Thank you for inviting me to your show.
It's a pleasure to have you on Love and Inspiration. You finally made it, you know, after our conversation for some time back. But we're very thankful that, you know, you are here today. And as I mentioned a while ago to the listeners, you are the author of a very interesting book, and it's about your life story. And I mentioned it a while ago, Held Hostage, a one man's story of trials and triumph after being taken in Dagestan. So just before we get into this conversation with you, Arjan, can you just share with the listeners a little bit about who you are? And I know you're in Rotterdam. If you were born in the Netherlands, just to give us a short idea of who you are, and we'll go straight into this powerful conversation with you on Love and Inspiration.
Yes. Okay, Roy. Yes, I'm Arjan from Rotterdam, as you said. I'm 51 years old now. I'm married, three children, three daughters. I'm a cultural anthropologist by study, and right now I'm a keynote speaker all over the world. I'm giving motivational speaks about freedom, because my freedom was taken away for 607 days. And if you live in freedom, you have so many much more opportunities than you think. It's a choice of freedom. What can you do? What can't you do? And I'm also the founder of Free a Girl, which is a foundation that frees minor girls from sexual exploitation. And we already freed more than 5,000 girls from living in horrible situations, being abused every day. And we reunite them with their families. Wow. So that's in short who I am.
Wow. Thank you for sharing that, Arjan. That is some very important work that you're doing in terms, of course, also being a motivational speaker. And I can imagine what that feels like for, you know, individuals as the girls, as you're talking about, and families, because that's something no one would ever wish to have happening to their daughter.
No, it's horrible that people do each other these kind of things. How can you take even minor girls into prostitution and abuse them, and sometimes they never come back to their families. Their families try to get them out, but yeah, if you can't find them, for example, in India, there's more than 200,000 girls being abused, and it's when it's your daughter, you want to fight for them. Like my parents, when I was kidnapped, they were also fighting every day. They thought, can we do enough? Maybe our son won't survive, and then we have to look in the mirror. And then, yeah, if we didn't fight for him, how can we look in the mirror? And of course, sometimes I was 607 days in a small cave under the ground. I was also wondering, who is getting me out? And that made me becoming a freedom fighter for those girls. When I heard about that situation, that some of those girls are being kept for years, I also thought, I'm so happy that I was reunited with my family, that I got a second chance, and I want to do everything for those girls who can't help themselves, and maybe their parents can't help themselves. So someone else should give some assistance, and that's what we're doing with Free a Girl.
Right, very important. Free a Girl. Because, as you speak about that, I'm just thinking about, what has happened over the past, I think even self this year, I stand to be corrected, over in Nigeria. When a certain amount of girls were kidnapped from one of the high schools, and you can imagine what the parents are feeling like. And even self before that, when there were about 300 girls, I believe, that were kidnapped by the Boko Haram, can imagine that parents were, and still there are those who are just wondering, when would they have their daughters back in? And I'm sure all kind of things will be going through their minds, like, what's happening to my daughter? I have no contact. Government are, trying to get my daughters. There's rebels that have taken them, etc.
Yeah, those parents, I didn't. Of course, I also realized that my parents were taken hostage by the situation, but they are not rich enough to buy me free. They didn't have the contacts. And that's the same with lots of parents. Like you said, in Nigeria, how can you get your daughter back from those group of rebels? They will shoot you right away when they see you. So luckily, in my case, there were lots of intermediators trying to solve the case. But some women, some girls don't get the proper assistance. And that's why we come in. So that's in short what we are doing, freeagirl.org. You can find all the information. And for people who want to support us, please write me a mail.
Okay.
Join the fight against child abuse.
Okay, I appreciate it very much, Arjan. And, speaking with you right now is so very important, because in our lives, there are actually persons who are held hostage. It don't really necessarily have to be by rebels or terrorists, but even self in their own household held hostage. No freedom of speech, can't go anywhere. It's very real, Arjan. Would you agree on that?
Yeah, it's true. I always say lots of people are taking hostage, like seriously by criminals, or even by their husbands or by their family. But also sometimes we take ourselves hostage by thinking negative about ourselves, or maybe because of your financial situation, or maybe you have a job and you don't like it, but you don't dare to make the next step in your life. Or once I was introduced as the guy who was kidnapped for 20 months, and then a guy stood up, he said, 20 months, 20 months, my wife takes me hostage already for 30 years.
Wow.
It sounds like a joke, but sometimes you're in a relationship which kills you slowly. And sometimes people choose the wrong people to hang out with. And that's also a part of being hostage. Of course, it's not so seriously as you're taking hostage by rebels, like in Syria or in Chechnya, where I was kidnapped myself. But the lack of freedom, I think every now and then we experience it ourselves, even now with COVID. And we were also living in a lockdown in many countries. And then you start to feel what is freedom and what is the strength of freedom. And imagine, Roy, if we all free ourselves from limiting ideas about ourselves, like I can't do it, or I'm not strong enough, or an idea that I want to do is already invented by someone else. And that's why we lose the opportunities, we lose the potential. And as a matter of speaking, these situations can also be hostage situations.
Right, correct, correct. Ladies and gentlemen, we're listening here, and of course, I'm speaking to Arjan Urkel, straight out of Rotterdam, the Netherlands, and he is the author of the book called Held Hostage. So, Arjan, let's go straight into this powerful book here, because it's about one man's story of trials and triumph after being taken in Dagestan. And you were the former head of mission at Doctors Without Borders in Chechnya. So can you just share with us, I hope I pronounced it correctly, but let's hear from you, what led you to writing this book, and we'll go straight into it deeper.
Yeah, so the book Held Hostage, which by the way you can buy on Amazon, is about my ordeal. I was working for Doctors Without Borders, and then my car was stopped, and we were supporting refugees in the war between Chechnya and Russia. Lots of people were displaced. And then the car was stopped, and three guys, they beat me up completely. I thought they were murdering me. But then they dragged me into the car, and they said, yeah, we kidnap you. We want to have ransom. It might take 2 months. It might take a year. And at the end, it took 607 days. But yeah, I lost everything. I had to go to the toilet, for example, with guys standing behind me. I couldn't take a shower for once a week. I could only take a shower. When you lose your freedom, you don't know if you will survive, or maybe one day the kidnappers would kill me and cut my throat. You don't know what to eat. You can't brush your teeth. So all these kind of things I had to go through for 607 days. And in the beginning, yeah, I kept myself big because I didn't want to cry. I didn't want to beg because it was already a bad situation, so I didn't want to make it worse. I had to stand up for myself, but I also had to stand up and find a way, how am I going to survive? How am I going to make contact? Who's going to help me? Is it God who's going to help me, or is it maybe the kidnappers? Is it my organization who's going to pay? But in the beginning, I only had myself and my own tears, my pain. Roy, I had so many tears, I didn't even know where they were coming from. I thought I must be losing weight because of all the tears of bitterness and pain and missing my parents. And like I said, not knowing if there would be an end and how the end would be. Will I survive, or would I be killed and never see my parents again, never see my girlfriend, never have a breath of clean air, because I was always under the ground in a rectangular dig and hole. It was like 6 feet by 5 feet and only 6 feet high. So I couldn't even stand up straight. And there were all kind of insects, even mice, snails. It felt like, I was in a grave because there was only one small candlelight, and that the animals were already waiting for me to die so they could start eating me. That was really the situation. Even if I think back, I think I'm so lucky I survived. I'm so lucky I could make contact with those kidnappers.
I see.
But during that time, it was horrible waiting. I can imagine.
Yeah.
So that's in short.
Yeah. You know, it's so interesting, as you said, at Arjan, waiting. It seems as if when you're in that situation, waiting could go on forever. You could even lose count of how long you're waiting. You know, as I'm thinking about this and looking briefly at a little glimpse of the first chapter, Surprise Attack, and it states, Amina said goodbye, and her loving big brown eyes said the rest. I told my girlfriend she would hear from me soon. I turned away and walked through the gate into the dark hours of the evening. And just to fast forward, everything seemed as if it should be. But of course, when you got into the car, as you mentioned, that's when it all happened, and you were blocked. And I'm sure that when that took place, I can imagine in your mind, you're like, but where did this come from? Did I ask for this? Because I know you spoke about how the gunmen came and they started beating you in your head and sitting next to them, and they're having one gun to your chest and one to your head. What was going on for you at that time, Arjan?
Yeah, like you said, why did I deserve it? I came to do something good for the people of Chechnya, the refugees. Did I do wrong in my life? Of course, and no one is without sins, but I didn't make such a bad life out of my life. So I thought maybe God is angry with me. Maybe I deserve it, but I couldn't understand. I even thought maybe my girlfriend is behind it and she betrayed me because she wants to earn some money. I started thinking about all kind of ideas, but I never was in a situation so scary, like you said, with a gun on my head, with a gun on my chest. Every bump in the way, in the road, I felt, because I thought, oh my God, maybe by accident they will shoot me, like in the movie Pulp Fiction. I don't know if you've seen it, where John Travolta by accident shoots a guy in the car.
Yeah, I've heard of the movie.
Brain go all over the car. No, so I had to find this solution, and then they said, it's just you because you were the director. We think that the director is worth $12 million. We want to have a ransom. So then I became a little bit more at ease because, that was the reason, just to earn money. But then, of course, I didn't know for how long it was going to last, how strong I would be. Maybe I wasn't strong enough physically if they start to molest me even more and more. Or maybe I was not strong enough mentally because who can live for 600 days under the ground without any sun, without any freedom? But then I realized after 2-3 weeks, I thought, I should stand up for myself. I shouldn't be a victim. I should be a survivor. I should look into possibilities instead of all the limitations I had, because even crying, being angry, being frustrated is not going to change anything for me. It will only make me wonder about myself. Why can't I stand up for myself? And then I told them, I'm going to make the best out of it. I'm going to make contact with you. I'm an anthropologist, so even I thought maybe I can do some kind of research. And then slowly, it took time. I felt myself more secure, more safe. I started to interview the guys about their life, like anthropologists do. And I also started to build up rapport, but also trying to make contact with those people. And slowly, it worked. It was difficult. I had to make many risks. I had to fight them. I was boxing with them. I had to tell them that I didn't appreciate certain things in their culture. I had to defend my own culture because, now maybe radical Muslims, they don't like the Dutch or the Western style of living. So they want me to be convert to Islam. I told them, no way. I'm not going to change my religion because of your pressure, which they actually understood and appreciated. So, but it was scary to say because I didn't know what they were going to do after that. So with a little bit of risk, courage, but also lots of patience, I managed to build up a better life, and they also became a bit more soft to me. In the beginning, they were always pointing their guns to me. Later, they took away the guns. They always kept on their masks. So 20 months, I didn't see any face. But slowly, they accepted me as a human being instead of a product, instead of a value, which helped my situation for sure. And since then, I feel the power within myself that I'm able to connect. I'm able to have discipline to keep having a routine, even 24 hours a day. I didn't have any schedule, but I kept the schedule, sporting a lot, working on my body, staying fit. And there might be a chance that I could run away, so I had to be strong. Like I said, I had to fight with them, really a bare knuckle fight. So luckily I was able to do that, but I also had to be soft and show my vulnerability, but I think lots of people don't like sharing their vulnerability. And it also took me a year before I cried in front of them. There was a discussion about killing me after an ultimatum video was made, and then it hurt me so much that maybe my parents wouldn't find my dead body. Can you imagine thinking about these kind of things while you're in captivity? And then I asked them, please, when you kill me, can you at least put my body next to the road? And then, it was such a difficult time.
Wow.
My tears came out and my voice broke. And even those guys were silent for a moment. And they said, we can imagine you have a difficult time. And then since then, yeah, it also helped to make contact. So I always tell people, if you feel pain, please share it with people, because then they can help you. If you keep all the pain for yourself, there won't be anyone that can help you. And yeah, we can talk for hours, Roy, but the book is there, Held Hostage, at Amazon. And people can always ask for more information. But please go ahead if you have any questions.
Yeah, you know, I'm just... Yeah, I'm just definitely, Arjan, just listening to you attentively, as much as those persons here on St. Martin, the Eastern Caribbean, and of course around the world listening to Love and Inspiration. You said some key things there, Arjan, during that journey, because of course, at the end of the day, humanly, your whole mind would be completely thinking about, am I going to come out of this alive? And having persons who are applying pressure on you, not just only physical pressure, but have weapons, don't speak your language, trying to impose on you their religious beliefs or their faith, and having to stand up. And you said something so key, that at the end of the day, you became their friend. Now, a person will think, how in the world there's a hostage here? How can that change around like that? Because there are persons who are holding a person as hostage like yourself, and they have the power. And here it turns around where that power diminishes, and then you are now having conversation with them, and they are going easier on you, to where then they develop compassion. That's really powerful, Arjan.
Yes, it is. It's not, of course, friends, but at least we appreciated each other and we started respecting each other for who we are.
Right.
And yeah, lots of people ask me, how did you do it? And did you have to betray yourself? But yeah, if you betray yourself, then it doesn't work, because people will feel it, or people will smell it. People will notice for sure. So sometimes you have to stick to your own principles or your own self-being, and don't give up. Don't give it away, and tell you the real emotions and let emotions speak. And yeah, when you do that, I think people will see the real you. And then they still might not like you, but why wouldn't people not like real people?
Right.
I think people everywhere, they respect if you're real. And if not, then they will feel your fakeness, I think. But for me, it also took a long time, of course. I had 20 months. It took me 5-6 months before I really felt secure,
right,
before they start giving in. But they also did, because in the beginning, for example, they were such hardcore Muslim fighters. They said, yeah, you cannot touch our food, you cannot look at us. And then I said, yeah, but I'm raised as a Christian. You should respect each other's religion and let me cook with you or together with you. They said, no, don't touch our food. You will poison us or you will make it dirty. And then I said, but I can also ask God to bless the food.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, then if you do so, yeah, you can cook for us also. And that's how I found even religion helped to build contact with another religion. Nowadays, right, we try to polarize so much, but I think if you really see the human being as a human being and see the good things of each other's religion, then you can also try to make a connection. And the Bible really helped me a lot. The stories about the Bible, the way I thought about religion.
Mm-hmm.
And I also told things about their behavior that didn't fit with their religion.
Mm.
And so they had to adapt their life because they didn't give the good example about their own religion. And that is also a strong point. If you know each other's strongness and weakness, you can also use it to improve each other's life and help them to become stronger and help yourself to become stronger.
Wow.
So it's a long process, but that's better written in the book.
Because yeah, definitely.
It takes time.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. Can you just remind our listeners where and how they can purchase your book, Arjan?
Yeah, of course. It's called Held Hostage, written by Arjan Erkel, of course. You can buy it at Amazon.com, any Amazon in the world, or go to my own website. It's arjanerkel.nl, arjanerkel.nl, and that's where you can buy it.
Wow, I appreciate that.
And that's also one thing, Roy, I don't know how much time we have.
Yeah, go ahead. We have a few minutes. Go ahead.
Release, I also felt free, but then I also realized, yeah, you're not completely free. Your mind is not free. because I was still a bit overwhelmed by all the attention I got. It was fantastic because lots of people recognized me on the street. They said, yeah, you can have my summer holiday house, or you can go to my restaurant and eat for free. So everyone was supportive. And then lots of publishers, they wanted me to write a book. And then I thought, yeah, but I've never written a book. I cannot write a book. I should look for a ghostwriter. But then the ghostwriter, which I found, he didn't write the book I expected. And then I thought I should do it myself. But then I also realized, yeah, I'm blocking myself from making my next step. And then after writing the book, I realized, yes, I freed myself mentally, because first, in the beginning, I didn't dare to write a book myself, and now I can do it. And afterwards, I did lots of things, not big things like I didn't create a big company or something, but I started to sing. I did a theater play. I started this foundation. So lots of things which I would never have done without this ordeal, because I realized I'm blocking myself from doing the next step. And that's why I'm giving all these lectures and trying to be a catalyst for other people to also start at least with the next step that they want to take to make their life a better life. Because lots of people want to do something else, but maybe they don't have the courage, or they don't have the possibilities, or maybe they are limited with their own mind. And I really believe if we live more in our own freedom, we will use our potential, and we will release the power from within. Because if it works for me, I'm also just a normal human being from Rotterdam. I was born on a big apartment on the 10th floor. So I didn't have this golden cradle either. And if you stand up for yourself, you fight for yourself, you're disciplined, you have perseverance. Sometimes I think, yeah, it was a university of life, my kidnapping, but it really also brought me lots of insights that still help me today. I know I'm so powerful. I could stand up for myself. I could survive. So why can't I use all these powers not nowadays? And of course, I don't use it every day. But when I need to do something, I know I have the power inside. And then I can fight for myself. I can do things.
Right.
And that's what I want to tell people. You can do it, but at least start.
That's
There's
correct.
So many much more dreams being broken by not starting than by failure.
Wow. Arjan, you know, we can go on for a long time, because as I've seen a bit of the book and just looking at the chapters, it's so powerful. You know, some of the chapters here, like the first one I stated with surprise attack, you have blindfold removed, my prison cell for good behavior. And just listening to you speak, Arjan, and just thinking about that journey, and where you're talking about how you rose above the adversity that you had faced, and even thinking in the beginning, how are you going to get out of here, that you actually took that step. And with God's help also, as you mentioned, and being able to share what you know from fate, your fate, with them, and just breaking down those barriers is so powerful. And I know the book has more to share. I'm really absolutely right now saying to the listeners out there, you should really get your hands on this book. Of course, as I mentioned before, there's some really details inside the book, trust me, but it's worth the read. And having Arjan on the show today and doing what he's doing, really changing the world for girls, as you stated with your foundation and what you're doing with those who are working along with you on that, and motivating people. So Arjan, just before we go, I want to ask you this. At the end of the day, because I know we are still in an interesting time worldwide, COVID-wise, but last year when there were the lockdowns in various countries, even self on St. Martin, I remember we spoke with each other, and you said something really powerful where you said, you know, during that time, we're having our lockdowns, but what you experienced taught you how to deal with the lockdown that we were experiencing for COVID, right? Can you just expand briefly on that? And then we'll close off where, again, you can let listeners know how to get your book, and close off with a powerful statement.
Yeah. Now, what I learned during my extreme lockdown, that there's 5 or 6 steps that everyone can do. Like, keep your routine. Don't change your rhythm too much, because when there's a lockdown, people want to maybe play games more, or maybe to watch TV more, or watch Netflix. But still, keep the keep the routine and develop yourself. Be curious about new things, because there's time. You don't have to travel to work. You don't have so much time to go to the bar or the restaurant. So please look in your own surrounding, what you can learn more. It can be even in your garden to learn the insects or the flowers. But of course, you can also start a course of learning Spanish or anything else. Then visualize, what are you going to do after the lockdown? Or what are the powerful things you did before that keeps you positive? Because a lot of people are a bit losing their joy of life. But please use your imagination and look at your friends that are still nearby that you can go to and develop yourself. But also the power of influence, the circle of influence from COVID. You still have influence on your surrounding, on the neighbors, on your family, on how you look, on how you dress. On some people, they pretend to go to work. They go to the bus station. They come back. But then at least it's they went out of the house and they pretend they go to their work. So the imagination is really strong. And there's other things, but these are the few simple things. So curiosity, routine, the power of influence, and stay positive. Think about the things you still have. It's even maybe gratitude, because people start to whine and complain about what they can do. But please look at what you still have. And of course, it's different for everyone. If you're in a small flat with 5 small children, then it's very difficult. And for people who are living in a big house with extra rooms, it's more easy. But you still have things in your life to be thankful about and make them bigger. When I was in captivity, I really thought about my life and I thought, was it worth it living for? And it was worth living for. And I wanted to have my life back again. And please don't let the past ruin your future. That's what I want to say. Look at this time and look back. And what can you tell yourself? How did I survive this lockdown? And how can I be proud of myself instead of thinking, I didn't do anything and I can't be proud of myself? So please stay in the positions to be proud of yourself. Don't let the pain ruin your life.
Wow, thank you for that, Arjan. I really appreciate that. And can I ask you, as we close off and then you give once again where persons could purchase your book, Arjan, what are you grateful for today that you're here on air with me speaking to millions of people? What are you grateful for, Arjan?
Yes, I'm really grateful for all the assistance from my family, all the assistance of my friends. And I'm still... And it sounds very strange, Roy. I can be very happy to be on the toilet on my own in the morning, because it's the small things. When I was during captivity, there were always 2 guys with Kalashnikov standing behind me. I didn't have sunshine. I didn't have warm water. So I really appreciate the small things of life. And I think that's, if you appreciate the small things of life, it gives you the nice basis to build on to. And if you're not happy already with the small things and you only think that you can be made happy by reaching big things, then your whole life will be sour. So start looking around, appreciate the small things, and they are not something that come for free. Other people worked for them, yourself worked for them. So be happy and be really grateful for all the things we have, the water from the tap, the toothpaste we have, the friendship, the family, the warmth of people. I think warmth of people is also... Go and look for it and give it to other people, but also dare to receive the warmth of other people.
Wow, I appreciate that.
Yeah, and then,
definitely.
And if you want to find out why I think so, please, buy the book. Go to Amazon.com, Held Hostage, Arjan Erkel. It's the number one bestseller on Amazon, so it's worth reading for sure. And I'm really proud of it that I wrote it. Never wrote a book. I never went to the newspaper to think I'm a journalist. I never wanted to be in the school paper.
Right.
But I did it, and I sold thousands of copies in the Netherlands. So, definitely.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Yeah.
I am so grateful to have you, Arjan, on the show. So if I may say grateful, I am grateful to have you on the show. I am really grateful that God spared your life, that you are able to speak to millions right now and to change the lives of many, and to also help many girls out there who are being used for as sexual objects, taking away innocence. So I'm very grateful to have you also on the show, where you are playing a very important role, and those persons who are part of what you do. Arjan, it's been a pleasure having you on Love and Inspiration. I'm definitely, it's not the last time I'm going to have you on, because I know you are doing great work and we're going to connect once again for you to be on Love and Inspiration. And I want to thank you for being on the show today, and because you could be busy right now and it's many hours ahead in the Netherlands, but thank you for being on the show.
Oh, Roy, thank you for having me on the show. I want to show my gratitude for all the nice contacts we had through the last 6-7 months. It's been a pleasure. And one day I'll be in St. Martin, you know that.
Oh, yes, definitely.
We're connected, yes.
Definitely. And when you come to St. Martin, it'll be a pleasure to take you around and you can get to enjoy some beautiful scenery and also some really great food and meet some amazing people on St. Martin.
Yes, so, okay, let's meet soon.
Very soon.
Thank you again.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, there you have it. You've heard from Arjan Arkel, and he is the author of The True Story Held Hostage, One Man's Story of Trials and Triumph After Being Taken in Dagestan.
Sadly, you've lost a loved one. You're experiencing complicated grief and don't know what to do. You feel you're losing your mind, or you're experiencing a dark night of the soul due to some painful life challenges and can't seem to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Perhaps you're struggling in your marriage or relationship and feel like throwing in the towel. Maybe you're a student and struggling with your self-esteem and suffer from test anxiety. Or you're a business person hitting the glass ceiling and struggling in your business and need a breakthrough. Or maybe you simply need to retreat and hear yourself think so you may recharge and refocus. Whatever the challenges you face, Victorious Living has developed a solution for you. Call Victorious Living at 1-721-524-8731, 1-721-522-2084, or 1-888-VICTORY. That's 1-888-388-4286. Or visit us at victoriouslivingfoundation.com and transform your life today.
Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.